Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. Zach Shaw, Steve Lorenz here with me. As always, we are talking Michigan at Penn State, number 16, Michigan, traveling to take on the 7th-ranked Nittany Lions. Wolverines I think they're facing their biggest underdog spread since 2017, I think, is when they played Ohio State. And Steve, we were just talking about before the show, it is very funny because I think you and I are on the same page. And we'll see when we get to the predictions. But you would talk to Michigan fans, you would think that this is the 2017 season all over again. It's just like everyone, I've had people responding to like my random stories about something not related to, not even asking, and people are saying Michigan's going to get wrecked or it's going to be ugly. I don't get it. I guess what have you seen in that regard from the fans? It seems like fans are getting a little overboard with the, and there is some evidence to Michigan struggles on the road against good teams. Penn State has a nice home field advantage. But at the same time, if you compare this matchup to the 2017 matchup, it's not even close. Michigan has so much better of a chance this year. Because I remember going into the 2017 game, I don't know exactly what I predicted, but I remember thinking, I think Penn State, this is their moment of bliss and clarity. This is their generational team, and Michigan's kind of backpedaling with John O'Korn at quarterback. I don't know. Are you in the same boat as me? What have you seen from the fans, and does it confuse you as much as it confuses me, or does it make more sense to you?
It doesn't confuse me because it's not surprising. Just that whole beaten down insecurity, prepare for the worst, hope for the best type mentality, I think that has pretty much taken over a large segment of the fan base at this point. Again, there's legitimate reason to be down on how Michigan has played so far, right? I mean, even in games where they should dominate outside of Rutgers, there have been, you know, massive disappointments. Like last week is a great example of that. Even against Iowa, you play an amazing defensive game, but squander numerous offensive opportunities. And to this point, outside of Rutgers and a couple stretches against Illinois, you know, we haven't seen it offensively yet, right? And it sort of feels like it's getting a little bit closer, but I do sympathize a bit as far as the until we see it, it'll be hard to kind of believe it. Especially, you know, you do talk about on the road, where I mean, I 100% agree about 2017 versus this season. I'm still not 100% sold on Penn State, even despite what my prediction I think is going to be for this game right now. I'm still not 100% sold on them. And really, after watching more Big Ten football than I normally do this season, I still think Ohio State, Wisconsin are head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, Penn State's got a first-year quarterback. They do have some dynamic playmakers. I still think their offensive line is okay. Their defense is a little bit better than it normally is. I really like their linebacker core is young and very talented, and they got some great edge rushers. But, I as far as the pulse, that type of deal, I think it is. It's just kind of your standard, prepare for the worst, hope for the best type situation going into a big game where, yeah, I mean, there's a pretty lengthy track record at this point of Michigan not showing up in these kind of games under Harbaugh for whatever reason. And so sympathize to an extent, but yeah, you know, it's like you're seeing Michigan on the most disappointing team this season lists, like crap like that. It's like they're 5-1. If they win on Saturday, they have a legitimate shot to be in the top 10 going into hosting Notre Dame at home, another team who, you see Georgia get beat last week at home. That game doesn't look as impressive. And then they barely squeaked by a very underachieving USC team last Saturday as well. You know, both of these games, like I think we talked about against Illinois after the Illinois game, both of these games look, I think, maybe more winnable than they did 2 weeks ago, especially Notre Dame. But, you know, yeah, you'd think that, yeah, I'd say it feels like you think Michigan was like 3-4. Or something, the way that they're kind of talked about at this point, both nationally and by what I would consider a growing segment of the fan base. So
yeah, We had a
no short. Yeah,
I was just gonna say we had a radio caller today compare this 5-1 start to Michigan's 5-0 start in 2013, and it's like, come on, that team almost lost to Akron, that team almost lost at UConn. Those are teams worse than Illinois, but there is some evidence. I have Harbaugh under at Michigan. I have him at 2-10 against teams that finished the year in the top 10. I think he's 1-7 against teams that were currently ranked in the top 10. It's I personally put more stock into where they finished at the end of the year. But right. Yeah, I mean there is a lot of numbers, and I don't think Michigan State was technically ranked, so they have the win over a ranked team on the road thing off their back, but win over a team that finished the year ranked, because Michigan State did end up being 7-6. That still hasn't happened since 2006. So, and what the Owen, we've talked about the underdog stat and how it's a little short-sighted. But at the same time, when was the last time Michigan truly won a game it was not supposed to win? I think you have to go back more than a decade, really.
Yeah. That 0-6 or 0-7, that's a stat that I think is pretty lame. As a matter of fact, I think somebody on our board mentioned that those teams the teams they lost to on the road in those given seasons went a combined 39-0 at home in those given seasons. Huh. So it wasn't that Michigan was not beating them on the road. It was that literally nobody was beating those teams on the road. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, but your second point about not winning or winning a game they're not supposed to. Yeah. That's one where that's a very legitimate argument and trend that has spanned multiple head coaches at this point. It does, because it has felt like it's been forever since they've pulled off sort of what you would call the upset, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I think the last one was actually 2008 Rich Rod. Maybe a couple wins over Notre Dame in 2009 and 2010, but those Notre Dame teams ended up being not as good as maybe they were billed to be in those given years. So yeah, it has not. There have been a few close upsets, near upsets, but it has not happened yet. And so we talked to the players this week. It's interesting hearing their approach to being underdogs and their approach to being. I didn't hear too many of the what I would call the "nobody believes in us" cliches. And so I wonder. I mean, do you wish that they had that mentality more? Or do you like the fact that they are going in feeling like they're equals to Penn State and like maybe they shouldn't necessarily be underdogs in this game?
I don't know. I mean, I actually kind of prefer the former approach. I mean, at this point, what's wrong with Michigan kind of taking a page out of Michigan State's handbook? Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, we just got done talking about they're 5-1 and people are still talking about them as the most disappointing team in the country. It, I know it makes fans angry. Imagine being the players,
right.
Think that they'd carry a little bit of that chip on their shoulder. Maybe they do behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and they just don't talk about it. I suspect that that's gotta be at least somewhat the case, but yeah, I mean, I think it's, gotten a little bit to the point where maybe you do take a page out of the Michigan State handbook in that regard, because it's corny and funny to talk about it. But I do feel like Michigan gets overly disrespected, in far as the national sense. The expectations are really high,
mm-hmm.
At Michigan. They always will be, but man, it's like I tweeted last week, like I think until last week, which Penn State ironically got off the schneid, or James Franklin got off the schneid, he was 0-11 in any road game against a ranked team in his entire coaching career, and you did not see that stat talked about anywhere.
Right.
Ever by anybody. I think someone tweeted me that the Big Ten Network brought up a graphic about it or something. But as far as like the same talking heads who are for probably the third or fourth time this season saying that this is the biggest game of Jim Harbaugh's tenure at Michigan so far, none of that was talked about with Franklin. Not to mention, again, Michigan's already 3-1 against Penn State with two absolute demolition style wins, so it's kind of, it's the same as it always is, yeah. At this point, it's just gotten a little louder, maybe.
Yeah, it It has and it will. And I don't think it's, you know, I don't think we're putting out any fires here. I mean, it is warranted. This is a Michigan team that to this point, you know, I you don't have to call them one of the nation's most disappointing teams, but they have underachieved. They did not do as well as anyone expected against Middle Tennessee. That Army near loss looks even worse. Army is now 3-3. I believe they've lost two in a row. So suddenly that's not the potential top 25 matchup that they thought it was going to be. Wisconsin, enough has been said there. You know, and then Iowa, it was a good win over a team we think will be a top 25 team. But Penn State just did the exact same game, basically, in Kinnick at night in front of a sold-out Iowa crowd. And so, and then Illinois, I don't think anyone would say Michigan lived up to expectations at Illinois. So to this point, they're 5-1. They have underachieved in four and a half of the six games that they've played. Really, Rutgers is the only one, and we've seen what's happened with Rutgers since. Rutgers is the only one where it was really, you know, Michigan was pounding its chest saying that was exactly what we wanted out of this game. And so yeah, it's interesting. Another storyline that came about was the road atmosphere. Interestingly enough, I don't think the players really referenced. I asked, I think, six players what makes playing on the road so tough. And I think only Josh Metellus mentioned the crowd. And he only mentioned the crowd in the sense that if you make a mistake, it's really hard to have a short memory and move on just because the crowd enables that. They actually mentioned the routine, like the pregame routine and the getting in the right mindset. I think Josh Uche, and he didn't mean this in like a we don't get our caviar sense, but he said not getting the pregame hot tub and massage table. You know, that's an interesting element that I don't think, you know, we keep discussing Michigan's road woes because they haven't looked good in a lot of road games. And I mentioned this last week, you weren't on the podcast, but, you know, Northwestern, Minnesota, Indiana, Maryland, now you can add Illinois to the list, Iowa, pretty much everywhere but East Lansing and Piscataway, they have underachieved on the road in the Big Ten. They haven't been to Nebraska yet either. But it is an interesting development. You don't think they underachieved last year?
Last year they did, but in 16, I wouldn't.
I just meant, you know, each stadium they've done it at least once. Because I think they overachieved at Wisconsin in 2017 too. It's That's tough. Fair. It's tough, and personally, having been to most of those road games, having been to a lot of basketball road games and NCAA tournament games, I do think Penn State is the toughest atmosphere by a sizable margin. Actually, I don't even know who would be second. Probably Ohio State, but it really there's a gap. So this is tough. I mean, I guess I don't really have a question for you. I just wanted to bring that note to light that it's interesting, and I'm very curious to see maybe how Michigan. I said this last week. I said I'm curious to see how they come out, and that's why I don't view last week's as concerning, is because I think they had to prove it to themselves they could start out hot in the road, but we think back to the 2017 season and how things started out in State College. You know, they did draw it back within one. I think they even went to halftime only down one. But at the same time, I think that start just like set the fans off and made it so much worse. So I don't know if you have any thoughts to add there, but just the difficulties on the road. You know, you almost wonder if Michigan would prefer one more, maybe an Indiana type game on the road before it heads to State College, but they don't get that opportunity. They're gonna have to prove it in maybe the toughest atmosphere. I haven't been to SEC games, so I'll just keep it to the Big Ten. But the toughest atmosphere in the Big Ten.
I mean, it really all it comes down to, it's now imperative that they have to get off to a good start. I mean, and it's something that you want to do every game, obviously, and that's always kind of one of the keys. But yeah, you talk about their road woes. You talk about how difficult Penn State is. Talk about just how big of a game this is nationally. It's more imperative than ever that they get off to a good start in this game, because like you said, that stuff can kind of manifest itself. If they get down early, start to struggle, you know, I it may be a situation that kind of snowballs out of control for him. I mean, that's the fear, you know, like Wisconsin. I think that's kind of the way that I felt like that's how that game kind of played out. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like there was a period of point in time in that game where, not that they packed it in, but that I you get that here we go again.
The back breaks, yeah.
Yeah, that here we go again kind of sense, you know, and that's where the road has been such a difficult thing for them to conquer, that, you know, you got to come out and play well to begin the game. Maybe take the lead, you know, and at least try to stem the crowd, the tide of the crowd a little bit, you know, because it's going to be loud in there probably no matter what. I you know, I can't fathom a situation where they shut down the crowd unless they get off to like a really, really hot start, but, you know, nothing to suggest that's going to happen. So I think just getting off to a good start, not turning the ball over, you know, and a couple early drives to maybe build some confidence, especially offensively, are going to go a longer way in this game than it would in a normal road game and just a normal game period, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. One thing to counter the point that we're making is, you know, Jim Harbaugh said on Monday, he said he feels like the better team wins on the road most of the time. He is kind of right, in at least his Michigan experience. Iowa is probably an exception. You could argue maybe 2016 Ohio State was an exception. But really, for the most part, as you noted, the teams that they lose to on the road so far have been mostly better teams. And so it's, I mean, it's, you know, Wisconsin and Penn State in 2017, Wisconsin this year, Notre Dame last year. So that's maybe the counter to it. Ohio State last year.
Do you think the line is a little inflated with that in mind?
I think the line is inflated because of 2017. And I think it's inflated. And frankly, I mean, to Michigan's credit, they have done the exact same thing to Penn State the last two trips to Ann Arbor, too.
Right.
So I think the fact that Michigan, when was their last close? Well, it was Notre Dame was their last close loss. The last, three losses have been really kind of a down in flames situation away from Michigan Stadium. Ohio State got out of control. Peach Bowl, I know you can count it however much you want to count it. But that one did get out of control. It was close early, and then the roof kind of caved in. And then Wisconsin, which, who knows, maybe Wisconsin really is all that. I mean, they look like they're all that in a bag of chips. Curious to see what they look like next week away from Camp Randall. But but still, they've all been very flaming hot losses, I guess I would call it. So that might be something. I do think the line's a little inflated. Anyway, speaking of that, we can go ahead and get into our over-unders. These are provided by Neil, a big fan of the podcast, listens, produces these every week. Last week I went 5-12, so I'm not going to count it toward our overall total. So I lead 39-62 over you, who is 36-62. So first, game time. Does this game end by 11:04 Eastern? I'm going to say later. I just think that it's a primetime game. I know it's not going to start right away. Both teams are defensive oriented. I don't know if that makes games longer or shorter, actually. Probably longer because there's more punt commercials and stuff. So I'll say longer.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go longer as well. Too many commercial opportunities for the networks.
Yeah. Yep. And it's going to be probably the most viewed game of the weekend. I haven't looked at the schedule. It's just Michigan and Penn State are two of the, you know, five or six teams that have the most viewers. Next question on the offense. Patterson with 5.5 non-sack rushing attempts, over or under. One clarification might be, does a scramble count? Let's just do exactly how he said it. Doesn't count as a sack. So he's going forward, or it's a designed run. I think it's going to be over. I think that's, you know, I don't think Michigan has kept things quote-unquote close to the vest offensively, but I do think you've pointed out the nature of that Wisconsin game. It was over not over. It was the dynamic of the game was passing oriented so quickly that it really was not productive or conducive for Shea Patterson to do designed runs. And I think you saw against Illinois when they actually did need a touchdown, I think you saw they said, okay, Patterson's going to go get some of these runs. The one thing that's different is Penn State does have a faster defensive front. You know, Micah Parsons, Itor Gross-Matos, Shaka Toney, Jan Johnson, Cam Brown. They're quick players and they can hit hard. So that might be the one exception, but I think if Michigan is doing its due diligence and figuring out what works, I mean, I got to think Penn State's not buying those reads anymore. And so that would lead me to think that Patterson gets six or more carries. Your thoughts?
I mean, going to keep hitting the over on this until we finally see it. It's just, even against Illinois, there were three or four instances where it boggled my mind why he didn't keep the football. So I'm gonna go with the over as well, because we talked about this after the Illinois game. If they can get anything out of that, it will open up so many more things for them offensively. And it continues to boggle my mind that they haven't. Now, yeah, the only thing that you could hang your hat on or wonder about is that, you know, because we talk about how the Wisconsin game played out, is that they have been kind of hanging on to it a little bit. I don't think they have. I have a hard time believing that'd be the case. But, man, it's just there have been so many chances where a keep would have gotten probably double-digit yards.
Right.
And they're not keeping. And, you know, like goes back to what I said on Sunday about, you know, forcing those guys at the second level to think a little bit and make decisions and not just be able to just attack at will, because it makes life more difficult for the running backs, for the offensive line, basically everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at some point he's got to keep. And so I'm going to go over. I think they have to do it a few times just to keep Penn State's defense honest.
All right, keeping it on you. 4.8 yards per attempt combined for Charbonnet and Haskins.
Oh boy. I gotta go under.
Yeah. Yeah. Penn State leads the nation in yards per attempt allowed, 1.59.
Okay, then yeah. I mean, I was gonna say under either way, but yeah, I mean, it's just gonna be hard for them to I feel like this is a deal where they're gonna have to pass the ball to open up the run game. I think going into it, trying to establish a run game, I think would be somewhat of a mistake.
Mm-hmm. So Yep, I agree. Number to watch, though, is yards per attempt. They are 40-1 when they average at least 3.0 yards per attempt under Jim Harbaugh. That is like that is probably, of all the stats other than points, you know, point margin, that might be the most indicative stat for when Michigan is successful versus when they're not, is the 3.0 yards per attempt. And it's actually similarly true. They only have one loss when they have averaged or when they have netted more than 106 yards in a game rushing. So yeah, that's for me, it's an under. We'll see how much under might determine who wins or who loses. Next one, 179.5 combined receiving yards from Peoples-Jones, Black, Collins, and Bell. So all four, do they get 180 receiving yards or more?
Oh boy. I will go over on that. I think they had a couple big plays. Going over.
Yeah, I gotta imagine Neil knows what he's doing. I gotta imagine that's around the average their average. I think it's gonna be a below average offensive performance in this game. Penn State, they have not allowed a team to score more than 13 points in a game this year. You know, I'm not sold on their offense. We'll talk about that in a moment, I'm sure. But I am sold on their defense. I do think Michigan's key to success is passing. Penn State does not. I don't know if they have a cornerback, because John Reed's their go-to guy. He's listed at 5'10". You know, their other guy, he's listed at 6 foot, but you got to think Tariq Black. I'm sorry. Yeah, Tariq Black, but more so Nico Collins. Do you not chuck up some 50-50 balls and hope that he has the height advantage to come down with it? So that'd be the case for the over, is that they are going to have to pass more. I do like Lamont Wade out of safety, but that's kind of their weakness on the defense. Their defensive front is really sound. Maybe the best in the Big. That'd be an interesting debate. I'd have to see what Wisconsin and Ohio State have done more, and how Michigan does this weekend. But I do think they'll pass a lot. I don't know that those four will get 180 receiving yards. Tight ends combined for 5.5 catches. Don't know. Well, Sean McCown dressed in last week, and he was available to play. So I got to think he'll be ready this week. Nick Eubanks, plus is Eric All and Luke Schoonmaker. Well, we don't know Eric All's status, but is Luke Schoonmaker had a touchdown last week? I'm kind of tempted to say the over on this. I don't know how Iowa did passing to its. I know they don't have great tight ends this year. I don't know what Michigan will look like in this offense against Penn State's defense. I think they're going to get enough targets to those tight ends, though. So I'll say over on 6.5 catches or 5.5 catches. I'll say 6 or more.
Over. I agree. I think they make a couple of those big plays. Not much to add there. I mean, yeah. I think that the tight end position, I think Eubanks is a guy who has potential to have a pretty good game on Saturday. I think he can, a lot like Patterson being able to open things up by running the ball a little bit more, I think getting Eubanks a little bit more involved in the passing game could really open things up for the guys on the outside. I know one clip I saw from the Illinois game that was pretty impressive to me, it was from Brian Cook on MGo Blog, was on Bell's long catch and run where Eubanks actually outran the Illinois corner, blocked him, and then outran the guy after he got back up and then made another block downfield. Looked really, really athletic and also had a really good game from the blocking aspect as well. You know, so I think he's a guy that's going to be on the field a ton. I think getting him the ball a few times might actually help open things up for some of the other guys on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tight ends is always kind of a shot in the dark. I feel like every week we just get a tight end one and we just kind of say, could go either way. Penn State gets 10.5 tackles for a loss. Oh, that's a lot. I don't know offhand how many Wisconsin got. That I know that they're a big Havoc team. That just seems like a high number. I'm going to say under on 10.5 tackles for loss. Certainly don't think Michigan's coming away with anything close to a win if Penn State's getting 11 or more tackles for loss. I'm going to say under. Your thoughts?
Under as well. That is a pretty high number. I think this is going to be a close game. If that number hit, it's not going to be a close game. I mean, that's my logic in going with the under. So,
ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
I mean, Penn State only averages 9.8 per game right now. So that would mean that they have some big guns that they're just bringing out. Maybe Neil knows something about an offensive line injury that we don't know about. Maybe he's reading into Iowa's offensive line. I think they only gave up 2 sacks, but I do think it was tough sledding. I do think Penn State's defense had a lot of pressure and was able to provide it. I mean, they have a lot. Shaka Toney, Itor Grossmatos, Robert Windsor. That's a really good 3 out of your 4 defensive linemen. I think all 3 will end up playing in the NFL. You know, it's very good. I just don't. 11 is so many. So many tackles for loss.
I agree.
Michigan would be quite literally going backwards. 6.5 points scored by Michigan in the first quarter. So we've talked about the importance of a start. And so far this season, well, the first 3 games, they did not get off to good starts. Lately, I think they scored 10 on Iowa in the first 6.5 minutes. They scored, 21 on Illinois in the first quarter this past weekend? Rutgers I don't remember, but I assume they got off to a good start because they won 52-0. So they've gotten a little bit better at it. Do you think they get a touchdown in that first quarter? I think I might. Logic would suggest no. But they did. They have looked solid in some of their first quarter game plans the past couple weeks. I'll flip the coin. I'll say they get it. I'll say they go over.
I do too. I was good. My initial reaction was I have a hunch that they'll score, that they'll get in the end zone in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Any substance to the hunch or just a hunch?
No, I mean, there's been nothing to prove that Michigan will score in the first quarter in a tough atmosphere, right? I kind of have a hunch that they'll pull it out and get a touchdown on the board at some point for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. All right, switching to the defense. 3.5 sacks from the front seven. From the whole front seven? I don't know about you, Steve. I do think Penn State's offensive line has gotten better. I mean, Steven Gonzalez and Michael Manet, they're a good interior. I don't think that that's a strength of the group yet, or of the team yet. I think that there still are some trouble spots on that offensive line. And they do have a couple players who are undersized as well. Not that that means everything. I think Michigan can get 4 sacks in this game. And remember, Clifford is not as fast as McSorley. He can run. He has been able to escape the pocket quite a bit. But I don't know. I think Michigan could get 4 sacks. I don't know that that is going to be enough. But I think they could get 4 sacks.
Boy, I actually agree. You know, I think getting Pay, who will almost certainly be playing, getting him kind of back in the swing of things. Uche was excellent against Illinois. Hutchinson is starting to come into his own. And then Carlo Kemp is really playing some good football right now, too. I think that I'll go with the over as well. I agree. Yeah, not Clifford's like a weird. He's like a McSorley light. I don't know, he's kind of a hard player to kind of describe or compare, because he is. Tell me if you agree here. A player right now in his career that doesn't do anything great, but does a lot of things good.
He has not looked good against. This is more of a passing statement, but he has not looked good against the two decent defenses he's faced, Pitt and Iowa. I think he has a better arm than McSorley. I don't think he's a better runner. That's a preseason notion that I have from just seeing the film, reading up on him, things of that nature. But by the way, Iowa got 3 sacks on Penn State. I really do think Michigan will get more sacks than Iowa did.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
Iowa's really kind of struggled to get to the quarterback all year, even with Epinesa.
Right.
You know, and Michigan has really, I think that's one area where they've gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Iowa was a huge step forward for them in that regard, and they look good again on Saturday. So
they have 14 sacks in their last 2 games, the Wolverines. So I'm not trying to say it's definitely going to, I mean, it's an interesting 3.5 is an interesting over under, but I'm inclined to think that if it were just the D line, I'd probably say under. But if you count the linebackers, I think this is a group that has a good sense of what its blitz responsibilities are. And I think that has paid dividends. I also think it has benefited Michigan that Michael Dwumfor has not just come back, but actually looked pretty, although he didn't have the best Illinois game. But in against Iowa, he had a pretty nice game. Yeah, if you get Pay, throw in Hutchinson, throw in Cam McGrown, I think they can get it. Next one on the defense, 6.5 havoc plays, interceptions plus pass defenses or pass breakups, plus sacks, plus tackles for loss, plus forced fumbles from Michigan's secondary. 6.5 havoc plays from Michigan's secondary. Well, the pass breakups and the tackles for loss, I assume most of the 6 of the 7 plus would be from those. I'm thinking no. I don't know what Michigan's havoc rate is in the secondary. That seems like a high number. to high number to predict. If Michigan's defense has a great day, then yeah, they'll probably get that many. But hard number for me to sit here and say, yeah, they'll do that 7 times in a game.
I'll say over just because we've agreed on almost all of these. So I'm gonna do this is my separation pick.
Okay.
I think if I had to choose, if I was being forced, I'd probably agree with you, but I'll choose over just for the hell of it, I think.
Okay, I'm pulling up Michigan's box score against Iowa, which, by the way, I do think is comparable because Penn State basically did the exact same thing. I do think Iowa passed more than Penn State will. Penn State, their run game, well, we might have a question about the run game, but they have a couple true freshmen who are ascending. We'll see what they can do against Michigan, but I think Noah Cain found his footing a little bit in Iowa City. Devin Ford, another top 100 recruit. I believe it's Devin Ford. Another top 100 recruit. He's had a couple nice games so far. Ricky Slade and Journey Brown, their backups. Journey Brown had a nice game against Pitt, but it was mostly on one carry. Anyway, against Iowa, Michigan's secondary had 3 interceptions. They had, let's see. Oh, they don't have pass breakups. Oh, here we go. 4 pass breakups. And then the secondary had, it looks like, 2 tackles. So they got over it for sure. Looks like they had a couple tackles for loss. So if it's like Iowa, yes, I don't think it's going to be quite like Iowa. I think Penn State's offense is, I'm not sold on them, but I'm a little bit more sold on them than I was on Iowa's offense. Next question. Sean Clifford rushes for 49.5 sack adjusted rushing yards. This has been a little bit of a problem area for Michigan, and Penn State's exploited it before. Ohio State obviously has. But kind of containing the, not necessarily the designed runs by the quarterback, but the pocket collapsed, but there's a seam to get out of it, and then suddenly the middle of the field is completely open. That is something that I do think Michigan has struggled with. So I'm going to say he's averaging, sack adjusted, he has 300 rushing yards on the season, so he's averaging about 50. I'm going to say over. I think there's going to be a couple plays that they give up that where the pocket gets really good push, the receivers are covered, they did like 90% of what they were supposed to do, but then there's just a little seam. And Clifford, don't think he's a, I don't know if I would even call him a dual threat, but he's faster than Lewerke, and I think he's like Shea Patterson, really. So I think he gets 50. He actually leads Penn State in rushing attempts this season. So something to keep an eye on too. Just by one, he's got one more than Noah Cain, but still, that means that he's carrying the ball around 10 times a game.
That's a tough one. If it's sack adjusted, I'm still going to say under, but I think it'll be one of those deals where it's barely under, though. I think he gets close to that number, but I think they keep him just under.
Okay, next one. 5.0 yards per attempt from Noah Cain. Noah Cain ran for 102 yards on 22 attempts last week. Sorry to keep saying, well, Michigan did this against Iowa. Penn State did this, but they did play each other, or they did play the same opponent, who is decent in back-to-back weeks and had very similar results. So try to use that comparison to our advantage for our analysis. But 5.0 yards attempt for Noah Cain. He does have back-to-back 100-yard games. I'll say under, just because Iowa kept him from a yards per attempt case in check. Obviously, if he breaks one, you know, that one's shot, but we do have 13 of these. I'm allowed to get a couple wrong. I'll say under. I do think Michigan's run defense has been quite good the past 3 weeks, and I don't think Noah Cain is. He's not a big yards per attempt guy. He's more of the bell cow type. That was kind of the scouting report that was put on him, and so I don't think he's going to burst out for a gigantic play. I'll say under.
His longest run was 12 yards against Iowa.
Oh, there you go.
I got to say under as well. I think Michigan slows down. I think both teams slow each other's running games down for the most part.
A lot of underclassmen that will be carrying the ball for both teams. I think
Big time. Penn State's recruited the running back position really well. I mean, you got Ricky Slade Ford and Slade Ford and Kane were all. So Kane was a guy that fell down the rankings quite a bit. I think he opened as a 5-star, ended up just inside the top 247, but Ford and Slade were top 100 guys like all the way. They're more scat back, all-purpose type guys, both of them are. But Kane obviously has had was one of the rare miss from some analysts, in my opinion, as far as usually guys who can come in and make an impact like he's made for them so far don't fall as far as he did in the rankings, which is ironic because Jahan Dotson at receiver is another guy that Penn State recruited who was very highly regarded rankings-wise early on and then kind of fell off, but has been really good for them so far. So,
Yeah. I remember watching Ricky Slade. It must have been... Did they ever televise? It was some skills competition that was on TV for like one of the high school bowls or whatever, and he just looked amazing. I was like, man, he's going to be Barkley 2.0, and you know, his career's not over, but he is a sophomore, and he is the fourth string back behind a redshirt sophomore and two true freshmen, so hard to tell what his the rest of his career holds. But anyway, for Kane, yeah, he is not a... I would not call him an explosive back. I would say he's really, really solid, reliable, strong. You know, he's not gonna make mistakes. He's not gonna lose yardage. But at the same time, I don't think he's gonna burst out for more than 5 yards per carry. Next one, 79.5 receiving yards for KJ Hamler, their leading receiver. He has 455 receiving yards in 6 games this season. So does he do better than average or worse than average? I wish we could have gotten Ambry Thomas or LeVert Hill this week, because Hamler's a Pontiac native. Obviously he knew a lot of the Metro Detroit players growing up. I feel like my hunch is that LeVert Hill and Ambry Thomas are going to take the matchup personally, but at the same time, are they going to put them on him if he's coming out of the slot? Do they put Daxton Hill there? It puts them in an interesting spot because they do have Justin Shorter and Dotson, as you mentioned, two guys who, Dotson Shorter was a former 5-star.
Shorter, I don't know. Was the number one receiver in his class.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's not like you can just take, it's not like you can just put whoever on him and focus on Hamler. At least there's some believability to the fact that Shorter can bust out a big play. I'm stumped on that. I'm going to say over just because I think they're going to try to throw to him so much. It might not be his most efficient game, but I could see a scenario where maybe Clifford, if he's under pressure, if the game's tighter than they expected, I could see him really trying to find Hamler as much. Similar to Connor Cook with Aaron Burbridge a few years ago. Jordan Lewis actually did super well in that game, but so did Burbridge. There was just a lot of action. Plus, I think the fact that he can line up so many different places on the field, I don't think Michigan's going to have the answer every single time. So I'll say he gets over.
I'm actually going to go under, keeping in with the theme that I think this is going to be a more of a defensive struggle than an offensive explosion. Michigan did really well against Hamler last year. I think this could be the type of game where if Penn State has a guy who has a big game receiving wise, it might be whoever is on that third receiver type spot. This could be a game where a guy like Shorter could maybe break out. I just looked up it. He's got 8 catches for 100 yards so far this year. Right. Not really exceptional statistics, but I do think this is a deal where, you know, Thomas and Hill have been playing with KJ Hamler for years. I mean, years upon years upon years. These guys know each other really well. I feel like, and I guess that was probably similar with Burbridge and Lewis. So I see your point from a volume standpoint. I think Michigan does a good enough job on him. They're not going to slow him down all the way like they did last year, but I think that they'll slow him down enough. I think if Penn State has a big day in the passing game, it'll be, you know, like their second or third receiver, I think that maybe breaks through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, last one. This one seems easy to me. 6.5 punts by Michigan. Over. I think over for both.
Yep.
And we can transition that into our final predictions. I'm with you. I really think this is two great defenses and two suspect offenses. Maybe offenses... Michigan isn't really in transition, but I think they're still trying to figure things out under a new coordinator. Penn State, I just think they're a year away. I look at Freiermuth. He seems like a year away from being a star. Their tight end. He's 6'5", 256, already has over 200 receiving yards this year. You know, Hamler's there, but, you know, Shorter and Dotson. I mean, these are all guys who are going to be back next year. The running backs, I've mentioned how young they are. So even though they probably aren't transitioning offensive coordinator-wise or system-wise, I think they're in transition in that they're still kind of replenishing from what they had in 2016 and 2017 because they just had such impressive attrition. I mean, you could start a fantasy football team right now with Barkley, Jasicki, Godwin, Deshaun Hamilton, Miles Sanders. Like that's a pretty good fantasy lineup actually in the NFL right now. So it's and that actually does translate into what I think is going to happen. I know 2017, there's a lot of parallels. I just don't think this Penn State team is as good, and I don't think this Michigan team is as bad. They don't have John O'Korn. They don't have the offensive line that they had that year. They don't have a whole bunch of freshman receivers and no receiving coach. They're a little bit worse at running back, and you know, I think the defense is about the same. So I do think the team is better. I'm going to still say Penn State wins, but I think it is going to be closer. I don't think Michigan's going to come away embarrassed, but at the same time, a loss is a loss. So I can't envision Michigan until I see it. I can't envision Michigan's offense doing enough to beat Penn State's defense. Let's put it that way. You know, road game plays a role. You know, maybe the psyche of Michigan might play a role. Until I see it this season, I don't know that I can predict it. So I've got Penn State 17, Michigan 10. Steve, what's your prediction?
My thoughts on the game are pretty similar to yours. I think the one thing Michigan has is that in my opinion, if both teams played their best game, I think Michigan would win. I think Michigan, we talk about the offenses have been disappointing, but I think Michigan is talented and much more experienced. If they, that's kind of what we've been waiting on all year at this point though, right? If they break through offensively and you start to find something, all of a sudden Michigan's pretty tough to beat, in my opinion. But the problem is we haven't seen it even close to consistently enough to have any confidence that that's going to be the case. Yeah, it's an away game. You know, Penn State's record in the whiteout games is not really that great, actually, for whatever reason. I don't know. I keep seeing that stat.
Related to good opponents and the fact that they did have a four-year stretch where they were down because of sanctions and transition?
Yeah, but it's like in the last like 12 or something, they're like 5-7 or something like that. I mean, it's not a, which is, I agree, because you would not think that would be the case. But either way, yeah. Again, I'm now squarely in the I have to believe it to see it camp with Michigan, particularly offensively. We went into this season thinking the offense was going to carry the defense, and here we are, week. I mean, what is this, 8? I don't even know what week this is yet. And
7. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're back here where we have been with Michigan, where the defense is kind of carrying things across the board. So I have Penn State 22, Michigan 19. I think it's a close game. I just think Penn State makes a couple more plays in crunch time to get the win. And yeah, that's the thing too. This is a situation now where it doesn't matter how Michigan, if they were to lose this game, it's not going to matter how. If they lose, right, then the boiler, things are going to start to boil over a little bit. So, but yeah, no, I'm going to go with Penn. If I remember correctly, this is the one game I picked them to lose in the regular season when we did our preseason predictions. So
I think you might have done Notre Dame, but you said one or the other. I think
yeah, and it's hard to at this point to go back on that based on what we've seen, you know. And so I'm not going to. Yeah, Penn State 22, Michigan 19. I think Michigan does play well, but not good enough.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, we're basically on the same page. I don't anticipate a blowout. It could happen. I certainly didn't anticipate a blowout at Wisconsin, and I don't think I anticipated a blowout at Ohio State. So we'll see. We'll see. Penn State has some questions. Michigan, through this many games, might have a couple more. But Penn State also hasn't gone on the road and faced Wisconsin. So that might keep some of those questions from being questions. Regardless, for Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. Hope you had fun. Hope you learned something. And we'll see you this weekend.